going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. Hopefully you are out enjoying the weather. We are here at Reiselman Nissan. We are up north. If you come by today, we can get you registered for a pair of Royals tickets. Now, we can't guarantee that they are going to score in the game that you go to, but we can guarantee you that you have a chance to go to the game. We can't guarantee runs. We can guarantee you an opportunity to potentially go watch the Royals lose 4-1 to some random opponent. And if you can't make it today, why don't you come by tomorrow? They got a car show. They got hot dogs, burgers. Obviously, cars will be here. I've been seeing Rob. He's been eyeing this Nissan Murano for the last hour or so. I seen him walking around here. He's like, ooh, I got to get me one of these. And I'm like, hey, I mean, go over there, get your finance right now. So come stop by. We are at Reiselman Nissan. Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by Matt Evans. He is with Channel 9 News. Happy to have him on the show to talk about all of this stadium news. Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Carrington. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Let's start with this. What was your reaction to the letter that we received yesterday from Mark Donovan?
You know, I've said this before. Nothing will surprise me anymore when it comes to this stadium back and forth between Kansas and Missouri and where we've been at for the past couple of years. So it wasn't all that surprising to see another wrinkle in this whole plan. You know, I know a lot of us were hoping that we'd have some kind of resolution by that June 30th deadline, because Kansas lawmakers had said, you know, we're really not too excited about extending past that deadline for the Kansas Star Bonds. Obviously, there's been a change of heart on that side, and they are planning to extend that at least through the end of the calendar year, as you heard Ty Masterson say earlier on your show. And really what this means is that the teams are still working through extremely difficult, very complicated proposals in both Kansas and Missouri. They still feel like both are obviously an option, and they want even more time to try and flesh all that out.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Evans, getting his reaction to the letter that we saw yesterday from Mark Donovan of the Kansas City Chiefs. We led the show with this earlier, and I'm curious to get your opinion. I think the letter is really a matter of perception, depending on what side of state line you're on. If you're from Kansas, you can read that and feel like, man, we're really close to getting a deal done. They're about to build new Arrowhead Stadium. If you're on the Missouri side, there's just a lot of things missing. I mean, the Chiefs don't really make a commitment to going over there, just that they want to keep conversations going and that they want a little bit more time to do it. I feel like the letter doesn't really change the fact that nothing has really changed in this conversation in the last 90 days, it feels like.
I think you're spot on there, Carrington. I mean, nothing really has changed all that much between Kansas and Missouri, especially since that Missouri offer came out a couple of weeks ago through the special session. And you're right, it's depending on what lens you look at it through. Even speaking to lawmakers on the Missouri side, some were shocked by that letter, some were disappointed by it, but others, like the Missouri governor, says, hey, this is not all that bad of a thing for Missouri, because this proves that our offer was competitive enough that the Chiefs and the Royals still want to keep on looking. You heard Ty Masterson say the Royals verbally asked for an extension as well. So some Missouri lawmakers were saying, hey, the whole reason there's even an extension is because we acted through the special session to make our offer, and that means that the Royals and Chiefs are still weighing all of that. And you have to remember, too, I mean, that Missouri offer didn't come to fruition until a couple of weeks ago, right before this June 30th date that people have been talking about. And, in fact, in the governor's office's statement yesterday, his spokesperson said that now it's up to kind of the local folks to do things. We're going to see Kansas City, obviously, take the lead on the Royals, and I think Jackson County will likely come up with something for the Chiefs, because I think the Chiefs have been pretty much consistent that they will want another vote if they wind up staying on the Missouri side.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the only way you can be really disappointed by that letter if you're on the Missouri side is you were just expecting the Chiefs to come out and denounce Kansas and make a commitment to Missouri. I mean, the Kansas option is a very attractive offer and a very viable one. I understand why the Chiefs are entertaining a brand new stadium, a brand new practice facility, new events, and multi-use stadiums. Like, I didn't think that the Missouri offer, and now in 3 weeks they're completely done with Kansas. To me, the Chiefs are doing what you're supposed to do. Hey, we're weighing our options in business. We're talking to this side or we're talking to this side, and we're trying to gather all the information that we need to make the right business decision, and not just for next year. We're talking about a 2025, maybe even longer year choice that they're dealing with right now.
Yeah, these are generational decisions, Carrington. I mean, you're right on there, because they're not just thinking about staying a few nights at the Holiday Inn. They are building a stadium or renovating a stadium that will be there for 30 years up to. You know, I mean, these are huge, massive decisions for these franchises and for our region, too, that will completely transform areas. I mean, when you think about all the levels of government and business and development and all of these different people and organizations that have to be involved in these kinds of deals and processes, these are some of the biggest deals that we'll likely see in our lifetime. So I think it makes sense that they need some more time to really try and figure out exactly what they want to do. I know a lot of people are frustrated with that. A lot of people want some resolution. They were hoping for some resolution next week, because we have been talking about this for a very long time. I've been reporting on it for years now, but also the reason I've been reporting on it for years is because it is a huge issue with a whole lot of moving parts.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Evans. He is with Channel 9 News, just getting his thoughts on the letter yesterday from Mark Donovan. Matt, do you feel like we're close? Because the teams, the lawmakers, they've been saying we're close for 6 months. It doesn't feel like we're very close in this aspect.
I guess it depends on how you measure that close, right? I mean, are we close that we're going to have an answer in 6 months? I would hope so. Are we close we're going to have one in 6 days? Obviously not. I mean, I think that there has been a lot of back and forth between the teams and the states. And I think they are still trying to really figure out what the final offer looks like. And I don't think they've gotten to the final offer yet, especially not in Kansas. You clearly saw that in Mark Donovan's letter that he wrote to the Senate president. So, I mean, I don't think that we are close in this matter of days or weeks. I think we're at least a few months out from having this thing all wrapped up. And even then, it wouldn't surprise me if it keeps going. I mean, this is, at some point, a decision has to be made. And we've heard that time is of the essence, because, I mean, it truly is. If you're building a new stadium and you want it done by 2031, you've really got to have some stuff wrapped up here in the next year or so. So, I mean, it's not going to be going another 5 years. But, I mean, another 6 months, easily that could happen.
It feels to me, at least it felt before this letter, it felt like the tide was kind of turning a little bit. Like, there was a stretch there where it seemed overwhelming that the Chiefs were going to go to Kansas. And then I would say in the last week, you started to hear more people say that the Chiefs are leaning towards renovating Arrowhead. Why do you feel like it has been such a shift in energy back and forth over the last 30 days or so?
I mean, it's the Chiefs right now are weighing that decision. And it's one that we've talked about a lot, right? It's build a new big shiny stadium or create Arrowhead into Lambeau. And I think we also see a little bit of Mark Donovan and Clark Hunt in this. Clark obviously loves Arrowhead Stadium. It's the place his father built. He's tied to that tradition a lot. And we've also heard Mark Donovan speak about the positives of having a new stadium out in Kansas. So, I mean, that might be some of this as well, as Clark and Mark are trying to figure this out, as they're both the leaders of this organization. I think they're having very very productive conversations even amongst themselves about the pros and the cons of all of these things. Because for the Chiefs, it's you see both sides, right, of what's positive and on either Kansas or Missouri. As far as how the tide has been turning, I mean, I think just that Missouri in the last 30 days has come together with an offer for the Chiefs and made it certainly much more attractive for them to stay. I think that's made them take a closer look at what a plan would be to renovate Arrowhead. And, you know, I think when they have those plans and final offers, they're going to have to figure it out, which one is going to be the best for our organization, for us as an ownership group, and ultimately for the team in the region too.
I do want to get to the Royals here coming up in just a bit. I guess let's focus on the Chiefs for this question. What percentage chance do you give a vote being on the ballot in November where the purpose of this is to raise money for the renovation of Arrowhead? Because it seems like, and just based on all the reporting, that that's the only way that they stay where they currently are. They're going to need a public vote for more tax money, and the purpose of that money is going to be to go towards the renovation. How likely, how possible do you think that is to get that on the ballot here in, what, 5 months?
Now, I don't know if it's going to happen in November. The chair of the Jackson County Legislature said earlier this month that he envisioned a vote at the earliest coming in April of next year. So he didn't completely rule out a November vote. But also, if we're talking about getting something on the November ballot, the deadline for that's in August. So the Jackson County Legislature would have to start getting its act together to figure out how they want to word it, exactly what it's going to be. Is it going to be 3/8 cents that the Royals and Chiefs were splitting for so long? Is it going to be a different ask? Is it going to be a different proposal? And they want to have those things buttoned up sooner rather than later, because we saw in April of 2024 kind of this back and forth between the legislature and the teams and all the last-minute negotiations. And I know everyone involved wants to avoid that. So the longer we go without any movement from the legislature, the less and less likely that November vote is. But I do think you push it out till April. The deadline to get on the ballot, I think, would be in January. That certainly gives them some more time to do it. I don't know how likely a November vote is. I think an April vote is much, much more likely. But a November vote, it could happen. If you say, I got to put a percentage on it, maybe 25% it happens in November.
Let me ask you this, and I don't have the answer to this, and maybe you do have the answer to this. Who is in charge of the Jackson County conversations? Because one person, I guess both sides, have kind of viewed as a detriment to these conversations, and they both have been very outspoken about this person. The other person who you think could potentially be in charge, he has been in the news over these last couple of months for everything other than politics. Who is manning these conversations for Missouri right now?
Yeah, so Frank White, Jackson County executive, has said that he is in negotiations with the Chiefs, but he has signed an NDA, and he has not said anything further than that. He said that we're talking, not saying anything else. So he's been very tight-lipped about that. So I do think that the county executive is involved in some regard with at least the Chiefs. I don't know if he's involved in that regard with the Royals or not, but it really comes down to the Jackson County Legislature. The chair of the legislature is Daron McGee, and he can kind of steer the ship in a certain direction. And he was very instrumental in getting the stadium proposal on the ballot in 2024 as well. So, and he was in negotiations with the team too. So as far as who is kind of leading those negotiations, I think probably both Frank White and Daron McGee are probably both at least has a working knowledge, both of them, about exactly what needs to happen. Because I do think too, Jackson County will want to be, if they can be, on the same page with this, because a lot of that infighting that we saw in 2024, it didn't help. It did not help things in Jackson County. If they can get on the same page or not, now that's a whole nother story.
Matt, if you're telling me that Frank White is at the helm, I'm just preparing for them to move to Kansas.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if he's at the helm. I don't know. I know he says he's talking and he has an NDA, but there hasn't been a whole lot of information coming out of the Jackson County legislature recently. So I don't know where they are with that. You know, there's been no movement as far as ordinances or as far as introductions or as far as any hearings or anything like that. Certainly nothing publicly. But I would think that because this Missouri bill does require local contributions, it says it right there in plain language, significant local contributions. The Chiefs lobbyist testified that would be in the form of a Jackson County vote. That is the next step for the Chiefs, is to go to Jackson County and say, okay, this is what we're going to want. How can we get it on the ballot?
Right now, we're talking to Matt Evans for a few more minutes here. He is with Channel 9 getting his thoughts on all things stadium. If I let's say I give you a free $1 million right now, which team do you think announces their intentions first? Do you think it's the Royals or the Chiefs?
Oh, oof. Oh, man. That's tough. Just as far as Kansas or Missouri or an actual location. I'm going to go with – I'm going to say the Royals. And I don't have anything to back that up with. It's just a feeling. I don't think I'm going to win the $3 million.
No, that's perfectly fine. Because I asked that question because, and we just played this audio clip a couple of days ago, the one thing I have noticed about Missouri is they keep, I think, beating it over the head of, hey, we don't need public approval to build this stadium. We can move this money from over here. We already got this, the money from Missouri. We can kind of move some stuff around, and we think we can get this through. Ultimately, the Royals, to me, are just like, there's one plan that I think gives the Royals everything they said they wanted 2 years ago. We can get you a downtown stadium. We can come up with the funding. We can do all of these things. It's just, it's very difficult for me to think that John Sherman is going to pass up on the plan that ultimately offers him everything that he said he wanted.
Yeah, and you know what? The very first time I ever interviewed John Sherman when he bought the team, he talked about downtown baseball. That has been a goal of his for years now. So, I mean, and when we talked to Quentin Lucas, I talked to him on Tuesday this week. He said, you know, the ultimate plan was to have downtown baseball. There's been a lot of talk about that, but I think when the chips are settled, we're still going to have downtown baseball in Kansas City. So, I certainly think that is a proposal that they are weighing right now and trying to figure out how the financials work of it. But I do think there's something to be said for that when the owner has been talking about downtown baseball for years. And if there's a viable plan to get downtown without a public vote at that, I think that'd be hard to turn down.
I would ask you how close do you think we are to a resolution, but I don't want you to lie to me, Matt, so I appreciate you coming on the show today.
You are welcome. I'd say we're not close. We ain't close. We got a while after this, man.
Absolutely. That is Matt Evans joining us on the show today. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you. Absolutely. That is Matt Evans joining us on the show today. Now, I know that I'm supposed to have optimism, and I really am optimistic. Someone just texted in, Carrington, my guy, the sooner you accept that the Chiefs are going to Kansas, the less it's going to hurt. I've told you guys repeatedly, I don't like going to Chiefs games. I watch the Chiefs games on TV. The TV's going to be the same on the Missouri side and the Kansas side. I mean, I want them to stay where they are, but, I mean, I'm not going to be that torn up about it if they move over to the other side. It ain't going to really change that much for me. Like, it ain't changing that much.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm fine. But I'm telling you right now, if you want me to believe that Frank White's the point person on this, hey, man, they move into the legends. I would start buying a house out there if that's the case. I would start figuring out some real estate. If that's who you telling me right now, that's the person ahead of this conversation, and you're telling me one side is the Kansas government and the other side is the former second baseman for the Royals, rock chalk. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you, man. I don't know what I don't know what else to tell you. I don't feel confident if you're telling me that he's the person in charge of keeping the teams on the Missouri side. He hasn't shown to be a help in these negotiations. He hasn't shown to be somebody that can get these kind of things done. So I'm not optimistic about it.
On top of the Frank White, let's call it problem, one thing I gleaned from the Matt Evans interview, and it's kind of something we knew, but Matt Evans verbalized it, it seems like we kind of know the Missouri plan from the state side, but Jackson County doesn't seem to really have a plan beyond that. And now, and Matt Evans said, the earliest the Jackson County legislator thinks they can get a vote on the docket, on the ballot, for a potential more funding for a renovated Arrowhead, which they would need more funding locally because that's how the bill at the state level is worded, is April. Goodness gracious. Maybe the teams both end up staying in Missouri. And that's the same way you're like, whatever if they go to Kansas. Whatever if they stay. I've been going to games at the Truman Sports Complex my entire life. I've lived in Kansas my entire life. No change in my world whatsoever. But how? I just don't understand how. How is Missouri still struggling with, well, our timeline is at the earliest April on the ballot? How? How are you behind the eight ball? How are you constantly chasing Kansas? You should be running way out ahead of them. But every time we hear from, and we'll have John Holt on in about 45 minutes, every time we talk to a news person or a politician or someone, I get the same vibe. Missouri is trying to figure out, and they can't get their ducks in a row at every single level, and it takes this perfect, you know, balance and symmetry, and even then there are hiccups and hangups. How? How does that keep happening? How do they keep ending up being in second place chasing on this thing? They should have been running in the lead from the word go.
That part I'm not maybe as torn up about is I don't know if you can get something on the ballot until the team makes a commitment to what they're going to do. Like, if the Chiefs had said in April, hey, we're signing up long term, we want to renovate this thing, then I think they could get something done. But I don't think you can put something on the ballot with an initiative if the Chiefs haven't told you, hey, we are committed to this plan, this is what we want to do. So in some ways I think that that Jackson County is sort of, I think we're all waiting for a decision to be made. We don't know. No side knows. Every day the information changes. 2 months ago you and I were convinced they were going over to Kansas. Earlier in the week, we were convinced they wanted to renovate. Now, Mark Donovan writes this letter and tells you, so if I feel like we're playing ping pong with all of this, imagine if you're actually in the know about this. So this is where I do think, and I'm not here to shoot Frank Wright any bail when it comes to this. He has proven himself to not be good in this area. But I do think that I don't think we can talk about anything concrete when the teams haven't been concrete. They've been very liquid and what they want to do in this analogy. So I do think there is a responsibility on them to kind of figure this thing out and go from there. Let me ask you this question since we're here at Reiselman Nissan. What was your first vehicle? Let me tell you about my car. I was 16 years old. I didn't get my car when I turned 16. It was another year hurt. But I was 17. I was about to be a high school senior. Came home one day and there was this red Trailblazer in the driveway. And I was like, yo, whose car is this? I had never seen this before. My mom was like, that's my car. So I was like, what are you doing with the old car? And they handed me the keys. Let me tell you, Rob, it was one of the happiest days of my life. When I think back to my 1998 GMC Jimmy that was Hunter Green, I think of some great memories. I think back to Thug Motivation 101 by Young Jeezy and Urban Legend. Oh, my, that's all I had. You remember back in those days when you got – I didn't have the little CD disc changer. But I had the little thing on the visor where you had like four or five CDs up there that in a moment's notice you could just switch it out, you know. You had to make you a little CD so when the girlies was riding, you could just play something a little slower. That's how you were kind of doing it in that way. So that was my first vehicle, man, a 1998 GMC Jimmy. It was a Forest Hunter Green. What was the first Rob Mobile?
I'm trying to think what the make and model was. I'd have to really think back.
Oh, my, you don't have a nostalgic feeling about your first vehicle?
Well, so I got a hand-me-down.
So? Who cares what it was? It was your car.
It's one fly, by the way. It's killing me. If I really thought about it, I would get make and model. I just know that one day I was a junior in high school, so I was 16 my junior year, able to drive to and from Kansas law at the time was you could drive to and from work with a special restricted permit. And I remember I came home and my mom had a brand new car and I was, you know, oh, that's great. You got a new car. And she's like, you can have this one. And I forget the make and model, but I drove a 98 something or other until the wheels fell off. I do not feel a super nostalgia about that one. The car I have now, I feel nostalgia about because I bought that one. That one feels different to me because that was the first time that my paycheck was affected in a way to own a car. And let me tell you something. The first time you buy a car, you understand this. They walk through the payments, and you're staring at those numbers, and they're terrifying. There is nothing worse than those moments. But that one, I feel a connection to because it came out of my pocket.
Rob, I've never, ever called you this before. That's weird, brother.
Really?
You're telling me you don't feel nostalgic about your first vehicle?
I think the first buy is a bigger deal than the first one.
I don't feel any nostalgia about the car I have now. You want it? I'll give it to you. I don't feel any nostalgia. You're telling me you got nostalgia about car payments? I don't have anything about that. In fact, I was happy when I no longer had car payments. Now, sure, I'm going to ride this thing until the wheels fall off. Don't get me wrong. I already done paid for it, so I'm riding that thing. But no, the only car I have nostalgia about is that first one. Because that's like when you think of like certain milestones in your life, you know, certain milestones. That's one of the milestones. You remember your first kiss. You remember your first certain things. Yes, that first time that you get the keys and it's your car and you don't have to ask for permission about where you want to go. Because you remember up until that time, you're just getting rides from other people. Hey, Mom, can you take me? No. You really want to go to the mall. You really want to go see Fantastic Four with Jessica Alba. You can't go see Fantastic Four because Mom doesn't want to take you. But when you got your own vehicle and you can drive yourself, oh, that's a nostalgic moment. I'm telling you, I listen to that T.I. Urban Legend. I can tell there's some albums, I can every single word of it. See, back then we didn't have Spotify, so I didn't have 15,000 albums. No, I had three in the car.
Were you burning your own CDs? That's
the
real
question.
Oh, for
sure, of course. Yeah, come on now. You know I was.
You had to go to Best Buy. You got that big sleeve where they were empty and white, and you got to write a Sharpie on them. You're like, T.I./JC.
I might even sell you one for $5. Hey, you need it? I might go in there right now. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, I might go ahead and sell you the one. Hey, what you need? 2 for $5. I'll go ahead and sell you a CD if you need one back in the day. I was a LimeWire and BearShare god back in the day. You tell me what you need. All right, coming up on the other side, let's talk about Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani is going to pitch tomorrow in Kauffman Stadium. You know what? I hope you guys really appreciate what you can possibly see out of Kauffman Stadium tomorrow. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Chiefs football.
All right, welcome back into the show. We are at Reiselman Nissan. We are up north, hanging out, having a good time. All right, this weekend, the Royals are going against the Los Angeles Dodgers, and more importantly, Shohei Ohtani is going to pitch. Now, I looked this up, and it took me a little bit of time, but I think it's really important. Pedro Martinez is the best pitcher that I've ever seen in person. I saw him pitch one day. It was like a Royals Friday Buck night, and I'm telling you, Pedro was amazing that night. Dominant against the Royals. Did you know that Pedro only pitched at Kauffman Stadium 3 times in his Major League Baseball career? 3 times. I only bring that up because I know Shohei isn't going to pitch 6, 7, 8 innings. But just the fact that you get a chance to see Shohei pitch this weekend at Kauffman Stadium is a rarity. This might honestly be the only chance you ever get to see him pitch. They don't play the Dodgers at home every single year. And there's no certainty that the next time that they play him in Kauffman Stadium that he is in the rotation the next time. You and I are wondering if the Royals are going to get a chance to go up against Paul Skenes when they play the Pirates in a couple of weeks. So I know right now there's a lot of frustration toward the Royals, and there should be a lot of frustration toward the Royals. The Royals have played very, very poorly. But I know that you guys are appreciative of historic things and really cool things that are happening. And the fact that, I mean, the best baseball player in the world is going to pitch in the top of the first inning and then turn around and hit is incredible. You know what I mean? Is amazing. You will never get that opportunity again, potentially, to see something like that, where he is literally going to pitch and then turn around and then go to the on-deck circle. That is not a normal thing. In fact, you have never had that opportunity before. So I made it a point. I'm going out there tomorrow just because I want to see it. A couple of weeks ago, I saw Aaron Judge hit a home run. I'm
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Not sure if that ball has landed at Kauffman Stadium. I've never seen a human being hit a ball as far as I saw Aaron Judge a couple of weeks ago. You also get the opportunity to see Shohei Ohtani pitch this weekend at Kauffman Stadium. So maybe you can go out there, maybe you can't. I would just encourage you to check it out because something really cool is happening at Kauffman Stadium this weekend.
I mean, it's historic for all the reasons you mentioned. Do you think some of the shine is off it for the average fan because he's essentially using the major leagues to get rehab starts? Which, by the way, we haven't talked about it because we've been inundated with bad Royals baseball talk about. But the fact that the best player in the world is using Major League Baseball for rehab starts live and in real time is legitimately astonishing to me. That's essentially what Shohei is doing. Pitching an inning here, inning there, two innings here, inning there. He is using the major leagues like his rehab appearances, but that's neither here nor there. Do you think some of the shine of the excitement and the allure of having him do both is off because the thought is he's a 3-6 out guy on Saturday, and it's a you got to get in there to see it, but then it's kind of a fleeting moment?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not as cool as it could be to see him potentially pitch 5, 6, 7, 8 innings or so. I mean, I'm just excited to go see him play because he's incredible. You know what I mean? Like, the best baseball player in the world is coming to Kansas City this weekend. Like, it's not an argument. It's not a debate to me on who the best baseball player in the world is. He is coming to Kauffman Stadium. So however they plan on using him, is perfectly fine with me. So if he's going to pitch one inning, two innings, if he's going to play right field, DH, I don't care. I got a chance to see him play when he was with the Angels and he hit a home run. And, you know, the same way with Judge we were just talking about, man, when he hit that, when I saw Otani hit that home run, you know how they mentioned that the ball just sounds a little different off the bat? That's what it sounded like when Shohei hit one. It sounded very, very different coming off Shohei's bat than it did with everybody else. So, and again, I get it. People are mad right now at the Royals. They're not playing well. I mean, you probably go out there tomorrow. The odds are the Royals will probably lose when you go out there. But you still get a chance to see something cool. And I would just encourage you to go out there and see something cool.
Let me ask you this. I don't want to turn this into a whole attendance conversation, and I'm not looking to have an attendance conversation. But we were impressed for a lot of reasons with how well the Royals did attendance-wise for Aaron Judge versus Jack Caglione. Now, there are other things at play for that game. I'm not numb to those facts.
I think they're going to do somewhere between 25 and 28.
So you think they're going to do worse on a Saturday with the best player in the world playing than they did on a Tuesday night with Aaron Judge in town?
Yeah,
I would tell you the opposite. I think Saturday is the biggest factor here.
I mean, today might be the real indication of what it's going to look like out there. It's hot and the Royals are playing bad. And you and I talk about all the time. I love Royals fans. But if there is a reason to not go, oh, you will find that reason. Oh, it's hot. They're not playing good. Why don't we? You will find a reason to not go out there. So I will be very curious to see. I mean, in theory, this should be the Royals' biggest series of the year. Mm-hmm. The best team in baseball is coming on the weekend. The weather is going to be perfect this weekend. But there's a lot of stuff to do. There's Country Stampede. I'm sure there's other things that are happening around the city. It's going to be 90-some degrees out there. They play tomorrow at 3 o'clock. If you want a reason to stay inside, you ain't got to look that hard to find it tomorrow to not go out there to the K.
I agree with you that there are a ton of things going on in the city, and maybe the city has put the Royals down, so to speak. They're like, all right, you guys aren't hitting enough. We're going to move on. We're going in a different direction. I get that. But I know that Tuesday was the perfect, convergence of everything. It was Dollar Dogs. It was the Yankees. It was Aaron Judge. It was Caglione. It was a 5:30 game. I get it. I get all those things. But, man, it would surprise me if the best player in the world playing on a Saturday in Kansas City with presumably good weather on the horizon doesn't draw more than the – what they get? I think it was 30 flat.
They got 30,000. Yeah.
It would be surprising to me if Kansas City doesn't – if for nothing else, just to come see Shohei. That would surprise me, but that doesn't mean I think you're wrong. It would surprise me if Shohei draws less than Aaron Judge.
So I want to, I guess, offer up this thought really quickly about the Royals, and we can keep this conversation going if you want. I think the expansion of the playoffs have given teams bad ideas, so to speak. In the same way that if your team makes a bowl game now, you can kind of, oh, man, we made a bowl game last year. I mean, yeah, I mean, you won two games against 1AA teams. You won one game against you went 3-6 in Big 12 play. But, yes, you're right, you made a bowl game. I think as we are seeing the expanding of the playoffs, you're seeing teams that, oh, hey, we grabbed that seventh wild card spot. Well, I mean, good. You made the playoffs. This was the thought that I had at the very beginning of the season. I feel like people shot me down every time that I said this, that I think was a legitimate question about the Royals, and we were going to see. Last year, the Royals were under 500 against every team that wasn't the White Sox. The White Sox were terrible last year. Denny Matthews came on this show and said the White Sox last season were the worst team that he has ever seen. Now, they might be better than this year's Rockies team, but that is a bad team. The Royals were 77-78 last year against every team in baseball that wasn't the Chicago White Sox. They were exceptional against the worst team in the league and average against everybody else. I do wonder if the Royals making the playoffs and maybe winning that series against the Orioles in the long run ended up being a bad thing because it convinced the Royals they were closer than where they actually are. The Royals didn't really make a lot of moves this offseason. Sure, they went out, they got Jonathan India, they did this, they did that, but it's not like the Royals were super aggressive this offseason. Or maybe if the Royals had lost four more games last year, narrowly missed the playoffs, had gotten close to making the postseason, maybe they would have, hey, we got to do some things. But it felt like we all did this. Hey, man, hey, it's great you guys made the postseason. Man, you won. Hey, was it good to have playoff baseball? That I wonder if now with expanding the playoffs, we have given teams at the bottom of the playoffs a false sense of security. The same way that if you make the NCAA tournament, but you're an 11 seed and you lose in the first round, like, yeah, you made it, but, hey, there's a lot more you could be doing than where you are. I do wonder that with the Royals. We can keep talking about this coming up after the break, but, I mean, we're talking about 155 games last year. The Royals were 500 against everybody else last season. They beat up on a 50-win team last year and were okay. Maybe the Royals are in a better spot in 2025 if they had narrowly missed the postseason. Then you're real close to it. You're hungry. You want to get over that hump. You want to keep doing these moves. Because if the Royals had missed the playoffs last year, getting Jonathan India wouldn't have been good enough for fans. They would have wanted more. Hey, you guys are right there on the doorstep. We need you to do more. Just like this year. This year the Royals might narrowly miss the playoffs. This year the Royals might win 80 games. They're four games out of the wild card, and there's going to be a, hey, you guys got to do more. You guys got to invest more. You got to do this. There's going to be a hunger to try to go win the division this year. I wonder if in the long run, the false sense of security of being the third wild card team, I wonder if that ended up being the best thing for the 2025 Royals. We can keep this conversation coming up on the other side. John Holtz of Fox 4 is going to join us at the top of the hour. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. I want to read this text to you guys really quickly. We'll get back to the stadium talk at the top of the hour. CDOT, I can't believe you are discussing that making the playoffs for the first time in 10 years and having one of the biggest turnarounds in baseball history could possibly be a bad thing. This is what I would challenge you guys with. Whenever we start doing our NFL predictions and someone says that they're really high on the Broncos, for example, the number one argument on the text line is going to be, hey, look at the Broncos' schedule. Broncos got a good coach, good young quarterback, good young pieces. The argument for regression for the Broncos is going to be, well, look who they beat last year. The Broncos weren't really that good. Look, they beat the Raiders, they beat the Jets, but they weren't. That's going to be the argument. And now the Broncos have to prove people wrong when it comes to that. My question simply for the Royals is, the Royals are in their last 162 games. They are 81-81. They are a 500 team in the last year and a half. Last season, if you take away the 12-1 they were against the worst team in baseball, they were under 500. I just wonder if the lack of urgency in making moves. It's one thing for the Chiefs to keep things status quo. The Chiefs went to the Super Bowl. Sure, the Chiefs didn't go out and make a lot of radical moves this offseason. Like, the Chiefs didn't tear things down and build it back up. We've been to three of the last four Super Bowls. We've won, like, we're good. We're fine. The Royals had a Chiefs-like offseason without any of the Chiefs' success. Their one addition was Jonathan India. That was their addition to an offense that struggled for the final 45 games of the season. Their outfield, we all knew, was a problem heading into the season. And look what it's been throughout the course of the year. I'm simply throwing out there, if the Royals felt more of a sense of urgency because they didn't make the playoffs last year, and they were an 82-win as opposed to what they were, instead of being an 86-win team and they narrowly missed the postseason, I wonder if there would have been the drive to make improvements that would have stopped us from where we are right now. The Royals' biggest problem, the biggest two problems, I would say, is it is lack of progression from a lot of their guys, and they've seen a lot of guys regress, and just they didn't really do anything in the offseason and thought they were going to be fine. The Royals made one move this offseason to a struggling offense. And now that you don't have the second-best hitter in the American League, now Salvi's not the same guy, Vinny's not the same guy. It has really highlighted the lack of improvement that they didn't do in November and December. It has really shined a light on a lot of the flaws that they have as an organization.
I understand the point you're making, but let me ask you this. Are we sure missing the playoffs would have spurred more urgency? Because I looked this up. In 2013, remember the winter leading into 2013, the Royals made the massive trade. They sent Will Myers to Tampa Bay, and they got back Wade Davis, and they got back James Shields. And it was, for the first time in our lifetimes, all system go. The Royals are going to try to be a winning team in 2013. They obviously failed to make the playoffs in 2013. They came up just short. They did exactly what you just said. Hey, they made the step forward. They came a little short. And in theory, that next offseason, the winter of 2013, going into the 14 season, it should have been, hey, there's a hunger, there's a drive, they're going to get a lot of stuff done. Now, I know it's a different regime, a different ownership, but all the stuff. What was the big move they made in the offseason of 13 leading into 14? It was they lost Irvin Santana, they didn't re-sign him, and they brought Jason Vargas in. Outside of that, the lineup and the roster was eerily similar. It was basically the 2013 team that was we thought was pretty good, but just short. Just they flipped the page and they moved to 2014. I get what you're saying, but I think in markets like Kansas City, even with urgency, you will have to be pragmatic and small in your moves and trust your club-controlled core. So I get what you're saying, but I don't think it would have actually happened in practice. I think if the Royals were 82-80 last year, I think this offseason they would have chased a Jonathan India type and come up short on a Santander type, on a Yrieksen profile. I think the offseason would have looked similar. There would have been more frustration from fans because you were here in 14. At the beginning of 14, fans were frustrated that more didn't happen, but it didn't happen. So I don't know that just the demand for more would have equaled more did in fact happen.
Let me ask you this question. I don't know if we can definitively have the answer. The Chiefs were at one point were kind of what the Royals were last year.
Yeah.
And I would say that the Chiefs made a it sounds crazy now to think, a somewhat controversial decision.
Radical. They made a radical move. Big trade.
The Chiefs had a good quarterback. The Chiefs took a pretty big chance. That'd be like if the Dolphins had traded up in the NFL draft to go get J.J. McCarthy. That's essentially what the Chiefs did.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of teams don't do what the Chiefs did. A lot of teams probably should do what the Chiefs did, but a lot of teams don't do. I don't think that Jacksonville's drafting a quarterback next year in the top 10. I'd be very surprised if they did. I'm wondering if you think the Royals do that. Because the Royals were kind of what the Chiefs were at that point. Good team, first round, hey, we're going to lose. It's okay. Hey, we're good. The Chiefs one day woke up and just said, that's not good enough for us. We want to be better than that. The Chiefs had a sense of urgency. They took a big chance. They could have missed. And we all would be looking at the Chiefs like you were silly to do that. Like, we see how it played itself out and that it worked for the Chiefs. But getting rid of Trevor Lawrence to go get Jordan Love and he ends up being worse, that gets everybody fired. The Chiefs dared to be great, and it worked. I don't get the sense this offseason that the Royals dared to be great at all this past offseason. They dared to be better this offseason. Every team dares to be better in the offseason. Hey, look, we were this last year. Hey, we think we can be. The Chiefs dared to be better. I'm wondering if, in this sense, if that was good enough this year. Because I think we all, they went out and they told us they tried when it came to the outfield. Hey, man, you know what? We did our best. I mean, we did the best that we could in the outfield. I mean, we wanted to get this guy, but, I mean, we can't force guys to come here. That ended the Royals season right there, and we just didn't know it. Their lack of moves in trying to fix their outfield ultimately is one of the biggest decisions that drowned this team. They have one of the worst hitting outfields in all of Major League Baseball. I mean, that's three of the nine hitting slots. Is a waste. And when you factor that in, and now you add that to the regression that you've gotten from everywhere else, like, I guess I'm more trying to answer the question of how did we get here? How did we get here? Well, we got here because of moves that were made in December and January that now all of your recruiting, when you missed on that five-star kid and you missed on that four-star kid, and now you're a nine seed in the NCAA tournament, that's how you lost, because you didn't get Caleb Love to commit to your school, because you didn't get this player too.
Why'd you pick Caleb Love?
I'm just trying to find an example of somebody I knew you knew. I was trying to find somebody. That's how you got here if you're the Royals. That's how.
To answer your question about the big, bold move, no. I don't think the Royals have done that, because in my lifetime, when the Royals have been good, they have only made the big, bold move to be from good to great once. And it was in 2015 in the middle of the season. They did it with Johnny Cueto and Ben Zobrist. But every other time, the Royals have been good in our lifetime. Talking about last year, we waxed poetically about 03. I'm talking 13 and 14. Most times when the Royals have been a good franchise in our lifetime, they have not made the big, bold move. They have never made the Mahomes move. Let me ask you this. I know we're up against the break. If they are buyers in a month and they ship off prospects to add two big bats into the lineup, would you count that as the big, bold move
100%.
That could radically change the...
100%.
And then we'll judge them based on that. It kind of washes out the offseason, and yeah. That's the moment.
Because I would say that in that we're keeping it with that same theme, Dayton did that.
Mm-hmm.
Trading Will Myers at that point was a big decision to make. A decision that signaled, we're ready.
Mm-hmm.
We make this move because we think that we can compete for a championship. The Royals this offseason, they didn't really make a move that would make you think they think it was their time. I don't think that's what the Jonathan India move was. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the stadium talk. John Holt of Fox 4 is going to join us next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.